Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. According to this new survey, people were asked, hey man, you're in the office, what tasks do you hate while you're there? What do you hate doing the most?
Showing up.
Showing up. That's number one.
Woo!
I got five. I got the top five. Bing. This is at the office.
Okay.
Imagine just, you know, office work kind of stuff. I mean, not everybody works in an office, but anybody want to take a guess what office people can't stand doing the most? Or, you know, you got five to choose from.
Meetings.
Boy, you'd think that would be it, but that's not in the top five, no.
Conversations with somebody when you're standing at a urinal.
Oddly specific.
Very oddly specific, but no, sir, not in the top five.
But can we all agree that that should stop?
You're right, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I know. It's
A quick hey, I get it. But, like, let's not talk business while I'm standing in front of a urinal.
Yeah.
Or, like, using the phone at the urinal.
That's, well, I've seen Steve do that.
That's where I get my pictures.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Oh, geez. Steve and Danny do that all the time, and
it's so weird, man.
Yeah, it is very weird. I'm with you, Rev. I think that Danny and Steve should be fired for it.
Do you guys do it on the toilet?
The phone on the toilet?
Yeah.
Well, that's different.
Why?
Yeah. Because I'm not touching anything at that point. I mean, I got my hands up here.
There's privacy.
Oh, you're able to see. I can't trust myself that I don't have any, that I don't aim. I just can't. You never know what's going to happen. And say, you know what? It's going to mind of its own.
I remember my first time being potty trained. I get it.
Hey, listen, just because you have great control, don't be throwing shame over here that people don't.
With great power comes the ability to use my cell phone with both hands.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's weird when you do see that. It's like, okay. Because I'm like, well, I don't know.
All right. So that's not it, though, right?
That's not it. No. You guys might not get this because this is all, think office space, think TPS reports, you know, just all the boring crap you have to
filing stuff.
There we go. Filing stuff. And I would say it goes under organizing digital files into the right folders. That would be filing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's number three.
That's actually soothing to me. Like when I can clean up everything on my computer, I don't know why. Like get me a cup of coffee and I can do that for hours.
Maybe that would be a great job.
A thermos of coffee for me to pull that off.
How about data entry? That's number one. People hate manual data entry.
Oh my gosh. No.
Yes, it's so terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was working at temp jobs, that was typically what they'd make the temps do, is file stuff or data entry. And it was just like, mind-numbing. And then if you get kind of confused in your own head, you're like, did I just do number 154? Am I up to number 156? And you're like, gotta start all over again.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, that really sucks.
I wasn't very good for temping.
No. Number two is something that we all do. So this is something, and Steve, I'll give you a hint, Steve.
Meetings.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Vicky said that.
Yeah, Vicky already said that, Steve. Yeah.
You were asleep during that meeting.
Quite possibly. Sorry, Vicky.
The number two thing is...
I was just trying to emphasize what she said.
Or emphasize. You know, you do both, actually. I would like to throw stones at you, but I've been having a little trouble with words this morning, too, so I can't.
Yep.
Number two is something that we all do, but Steve, you do it the most out of all of us.
Ha.
Okay.
Wrestle.
In the workplace.
Oh.
It's not wrestling.
Wrestle.
No. You do the most of it, and you have the most of it.
Love.
Love?
You love the most at the workplace?
Oh, yes.
And that's what you hate doing
emails.
The most?
Emails.
There we go. Emails. He did it. He came up with it. Love, yeah. I love how you went love, then emails. It's just like, wow, that's a connection I didn't expect you to get to.
At least once a week, I'm getting the, you are about to exceed your maximum limit of emails. And I have to delete things.
Yeah, how many do you have?
It's insane.
It doesn't tell you anymore.
I never get that message.
The last time you had like over 30,000.
Yeah, no, it was over 100,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
I mean, in all fairness, I have emails that stem back to...
It's got
to
go decade, right?
No, I've deleted a lot.
Oh, you have over 100,000 and it doesn't even go back a decade.
Well, no, those days are different. Now that they've decreased my email limit, so I had to delete a bunch of crap. So my emails go all the way back to just November of 2015.
Oh, wow.
25 years.
That's half a decade right there. No wonder our system's got issues. It's you. I never get that message. So manual data entry is the number one thing people hate. Email is number two. Vicky, of course, talked about organizing files. That's number three. How about compiling reports? We never have to do that. Thank God.
The only thing I can think of, like, when they want us to do those employee reviews and you have to, like, write out, like, your...
Oh, don't say that, because I feel like it's been a while since
years.
Yes,
yeah.
Don't say that in case she thinks she's got to do them again.
Oh, okay.
They were the dumbest thing.
They were.
They really were.
Until I figured out that if I just saved last year's one and copy and paste my answers and tweak a couple things to make it seem like it's more current.
That's a good call. I should have done that.
It was great. And then they changed the questions. And then I was like, son of a bitch, I got to actually answer this again.
See, they were on to you. They knew. Were. Yeah. I think that those, you know, fill out your own things. What are your own goals? What do you think? I think it's the dumbest thing ever. Honestly, business is so far behind how to actually figure out what employees want and how to make a good play. I don't think business gets it.
I think they can accomplish that with just a conversation. Like, just have a meeting with someone, talk about their goals and all that, and just have like a one-on-one person-to-person thing as opposed to having to write it out. I think you could still accomplish that. And I think there's a merit to that and there's a good thing to it. But like... I don't see the need of why you have to type it out, then have a meeting to talk about it.
See, what I have, you know, the question that was never on that thing that I wish they had on those employee reviews, they always ask me how I could make the company more money. I hate, like, what could you do to be better at your job? What could you do to make this company better? They never had the question, which is, what can this company do to make me more money? You know why? Because the answer is nothing, because all they want to do is make money. Every company in the country is like that. Mm-hmm. And nobody, that's the question any employee wants is, oh, wait a minute, yeah, I'll tell you what you can do to make me more money. That would be great, you know, or make my life easier, or give me more vacation. There's never a question like that. Or if you answer, hey, what could you do that would be, you know, really make the place a better place? You know, I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I give me a couple more days off, buddy. How about a couple of holidays?
They don't ask questions that they don't want answers to.
Yeah. See, I want to be like the government. I want all federal holidays off, just like the government. And I wish more companies would do that. That's all I'm saying. Guess we have to.
You have more days off than the damn president. What are you talking about?
Now, hold on a second. Let's not get that crazy. The president gets a good amount of time off.
As do you.
I'm not saying I don't, but I feel like the president's still beating me, and that's what I want to get to. I want to run for president.
All right.
You know, I mean,
that'd be the best campaign ever. Why are you running for president? Because I want more time off.
I really don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I just want more days off. I don't care. Do you? You want guns? You don't want guns? Really, that doesn't concern me. What concerns me, again, the days off. Right. That's really what I'm looking for.
I'm easily swayed, and I can be bought.
Yeah.
I just want some days off.
Just want some days off. What legislation?
Say 2020.
Wouldn't that be amazing if that's all it would take to get your way in politics, is if you just give the president an extra day off and he's like, look, I was going to vote in order to give you the money you wanted over here, Alaska, but then you know what? Tennessee said I could get two more days off. They get the money.
That's right. And now I get 3 weeks off at Christmas time.
Oh, man, I love this plan. Yeah, okay. Number five is managing invoices, which we don't do.
No, I wouldn't want to handle other people's finances.
Yeah.
I always hate when I guess like sometimes like there'll be times where I have to invoice something and I just get so flustered by it. I'm just like, I'll just eat the cost.
Yeah.
It's like $10.
That's why you gotta have.
Is it $10 worth this headache? Yeah. Like if it was $100, I would be way better about it.
That's why it's so important to have Vicky in your life, because you can give her those jobs. Everything she hates, I make her do for me. So congratulations, Vicky. Everything on this list you can thank me for.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just because I, every once in a while, just like to torture Vicky because she trolls me on this show, so I can get her back by going, hey, here's an invoice.
Just know that I do it a little tipsy.
Oh, well, that's great.
That's how I can manage it.
Make sure you tipsy it in my favor, okay? The company's already getting what they're getting. All right? I want those pennies to go my way.
Okay.
Yeah, it turns out that we waste an average of 3 hours a day on boring, repetitive computer tasks. That's what we do.
I feel like I waste 3 hours a day sometimes just waiting for my computer to boot up.
I mean, I don't, you know, listen, we just got a tweet that embarrasses me. I don't know, because we have a guy that's pretty smart, and I guess he saw one of our computer things on there, and he goes, guys, you know that they don't even support that operating system anymore?
Oh, we're not supposed to be using Vista?
Yeah. I look at that and I go, now I don't know if he's right. I think he knows his stuff, but you're right, Steve. He's like, we took a picture, and you could see the screen in the background of one of our computers. He goes, dude, just last week, our buddy Ryan. So apparently, at least in that room, the Windows operating system is no longer supported by Windows, the one that we're running. Windows said, yeah, you should probably get a new one. We're not going to support that anymore, which means if it breaks, I don't know what they're going to do. Because Windows is done, at least according to this guy.
If it breaks, we get the new one.
Well, I hope that's the case. I say we break it.
Okay, you work on that. I don't even know how to break it.
I don't know why we have it. Come on. How do we not have it? I look at this guy and go, really?
Well, so he's program shaming us?
He's program shaming us.
Oh, whatever.
I feel really badly about it because, I mean, I like to consider I got the best iOS and the best operating system on my stuff at home.
Who cares? If it works, it works.
Well, that's the problem, Steve. It's not working.
Mine's not. I don't know what the hell is wrong.
Got the old operating system.
Because I don't delete anything off my damn desktop. I think it's more my problem than anyone else's.
There is that. Yeah.
But it's like when people want to shame you for like the type of television you have. Oh, you don't want the smart TV. It's like, well, TV shows things that I want to see. It works. What do I want?
Well, besides, you don't want to waste a smart TV on you.
Right. Sure.
I think you have the proper TV for the kind of guy you are.
I mean, when my TV dies, I'll get a new TV.
And depending upon who you talk to, a lot of these smart TVs are not faster than, for instance, an Apple TV or another way for you to watch your stuff. That's what I'm told. And, you know, I don't know if that's changed, but the smart TV is sort of like, in a way, the lazy man's way of getting all your apps.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you want to watch Netflix, you might have a better shot of having like a Roku or an Apple TV. I mean, I hear it'll be faster for you to actually, you know, get that stuff going.
Yeah, my Roku and my Chromecast does the job for anything I want.
Yeah. Though I think you and I have the same generation of Roku, and I think it might be time to get a new one.
Oh, I can't add any more channels, which is why I got the Chromecast.
There you go.
So between the two of them, I'm solid.
Yeah.
There's only plus.
Oh, you're right.
I can add it.
Yeah, well, I have an old generation Apple TV that can't get some of that stuff, yeah.
Oh, speaking of work, here's a good question for us.
Yes, sir.
Via text. Would you guys rather do a 5 to 6 hour show 4 days a week as opposed to what we do now?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Well, you know, I'll tell you right now, yes, I would do a 5 to 6 hour show 4 days a week in a heartbeat. Yeah, I would.
Can we do a 20-hour show and just work once a week?
I love that. Well, you know, there's somebody here in Washington State that put out a bill. He wants to make it so we have mandatory 32-hour weeks, and you'll get paid time and a half if you work anything beyond 32 hours. I have some congressman or senator that's introducing that in the Washington State, whatever they call it.
But if we do like a 4-day work week, I feel like we all have to be on board. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the idea of a law. No, that's what he wants to do.
I mean, but like, will some people have their 4 days, you know, will they have the Friday off or will they have the Monday off?
Oh, I see what you mean. We have to be in sync with the day that we take off.
Right.
Well, that's a good question.
What would you want?
Ooh, wow, that's a tough one. Oh, man.
I'm going, I want Mondays.
And I was going to go Fridays because I do gaming on Thursday, so I get the game earlier.
Yeah, I like Fridays more because it leads into the whole weekend.
Can we slide it like every once in a while, like daylight saving time, like football season, we take Mondays off, and then non-football season, we take Fridays off.
Oh, wow. Are you getting after it that much on Sundays?
No, but I'd like to. Why I'm not is because I can't.
Yeah, I feel like that it's perfect, though. You get after it, you know, in the 10 o'clock game. You get after it in the 1 o'clock game. And then you slow down. Maybe you start having coffee or tea. Maybe not coffee because you don't want to. But you start having tea and water, you know, for the Sunday night game so that you can get to bed.
But how great is that you can keep just full throttle through Sunday night football?
See,
like when the Hawks play on Sunday nights, how much does it suck to have to get up on Monday mornings?
Adrenaline. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah, the adrenaline is tough to get. I agree.
Yeah.
But then the trouble is that I like coming in on Monday mornings talking about it.
You do that on Tuesday. If we're all off on Mondays, including the rest of Washington.
Okay, if the rest of Washington's off. Ooh, but the Fridays, getting Fridays off, Danny?
See, I don't mind it because even though I get like super amped up like for watching the game and stuff like that, I've also slept in till probably 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, so I can stay up later Sunday night, and then it's not that bad when I only get 4 or 5 hours of sleep on Monday morning. So I'd rather have Fridays off.
But see, think about it now. Like, Fridays, regardless, are fun. Like, we know that the weekend's here. The shows are always, we have a lot of energy. We're pumped. We know what's going on.
Mm. But that would be Thursday then.
You say that. There's no guarantee.
That's true.
We know Mondays suck right now.
That's true.
Let's eliminate them.
Well, Tuesdays are the ones that suck. Well.
They'll suck the same.
Yeah.
But then Wednesdays will be the new Tuesdays.
Yeah, he's right. And Wednesday's no longer hump day. Wednesday's suck day.
Fine, let's just work 5 days a week.
Oh, no.
You guys are making this too difficult.
How do we get there?
Oh, hold on. Why don't we take Mondays and Fridays off, and we'll just work 10
hours. There we go.
There we go. BJ for president.
We're working on Howard Stern hours now. This is awesome, boys. Let's do this.
Oh, Howard Stern? I didn't even know he was still working. He's still working?
I think he does Tuesdays and Mondays or something.
Yeah, I think that's so. He has created some of Hollywood's most memorable films. I'm talking movies like A Beautiful Mind and Apollo 13. So excited. Director Ron Howard joins us at 8:20 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. In a couple minutes, we'll be chatting with Ron Howard. He's got a great new show called 68 Whiskey, which is on the Paramount Network, channel 640, if you've got Infinity. And while waiting for Ron, let's talk about Joey Kramer, who not happy with Aerosmith. He is suing the band.
I saw this story and I couldn't believe it. I mean, he's one of the OG guys. So you always hear about Steven Tyler and Joe Perry having issues, but you never hear about Joey Kramer having issues with the band.
Yeah, I guess, you know, he says they won't let him perform with them. And it all comes from this shoulder injury that Joey suffered last April, which caused him to miss some dates on Aerosmith's Vegas residency. And look, these guys aren't getting any younger, that's for sure.
No, and they had like his drum tech filled in for him. And now it's like they're making it so that, I don't know, you know, it's obviously two sides or three sides to the story. There's their side, his side, and the truth. And, but like, he's making it sound like they're holding him back. And they're like, no, he's not 100% yet. So we don't want him to be in the band until he's 100%.
So they're asking him to basically just, hey, will you drum for us to see how you're doing? And he's like thinking, what, are you making me audition? But no, it's just like, they're like, dude, you know, it's like anything when you come from injury in the world of sports. I can see that. And so they, hey, throw a couple pitches off the mound. Let's see how you're doing. Let's see how the shoulder is. They're just saying, hey, let's see how you can drum.
It feels like there's got to be more than that, because I'd imagine he wouldn't have a problem if they're like, hey, let's get in the practice space or the sound check and let's jam and let's see how it feels. And if it doesn't feel right, maybe you need to rehab more.
And how about this? The band determined that that Joey Kramer did not have enough energy in the recordings they made. Therefore, they say he's not going to perform with them at the Grammys this weekend, which, you know, that's a bummer.
That's the tough thing with the drummer, I think, of all the musicians in a band. I think endurance-wise, that's the one the older you get. It's going to be harder to keep up with your band. I mean, I think, you know, as long as you got the fast hands and the fingers, you're good. But the drummer, it's a full body thing. And if you're slowing down because of injuries or old age, it might be one of those things where he has to come to terms with the fact that maybe he can't play that level. I don't know if he can or can't. I haven't heard it, but
yeah. So he's suing to get his job back.
Oh, that's awkward.
Very, very awkward.
I don't know if I'd want to sue to get my job back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but hope
when you're that rich. I mean, I almost be like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm done.
Yeah. Is it a pride thing?
It's got to be.
It's got to be. And look, I don't know how old Joey is. He's got to be at least in his 60s. I mean, some of the band members are in their 70s, aren't they?
I'm trying to see how old he is right now. He is 69 years old.
Oh, well, he's at the right age.
Nice.
He should be hired just for that.
Yeah, 69 years old, man. I mean, it, like you said, you know, that takes a lot out of your drumming. But then again, of course, explain to me Charlie Watts, unless the Rolling Stones, that drumming doesn't require that much. I don't know, Steve. You know more about it than I do. How does Charlie Watts keep going? Because he's, what, 100?
Charlie Watts, I mean, there's a lot. If you watch him play, there's really no energy being exerted by that guy.
Yeah, he does look like he's just like that.
I'm pretty sure that their drum tech is not there to tune his drums. He's there to just check his pulse to make sure he's still alive while they're performing. It's insane, like, how little effort that guy puts into. I mean, he sounds great, don't get me wrong. Like, it works perfectly for the Rolling Stones, but it's so funny watching him play.
Yeah, he does not look like he's doing anything.
No.
It really, it almost looks like he's just like, who, does Granddad know that he's in front of a crowd? Yeah, he's hysterical. He's the guy who also doesn't care about his appearance, doesn't dye his hair, doesn't really dress to look like a rock star. Charlie Watts does look like he does look like he doesn't belong in the band.
Some people are chiming in, like guys like well-respected drummers, like Mike Portnoy, who plays in that band Dream Theater. He's an incredible drummer. He's just like, he thinks it's ridiculous. He says, where's the loyalty? You've seen him, Joey, you know, he's not in his 20s and 30s, but he seems like he's pulling his weight. And, you know, he's even talked about how, like, Bill Ward not being allowed to play with Black Sabbath, Peter Criss not with Kiss, but there's something to be said if someone physically can't do it. And I think with those guys, that was the issue. But he's like, I just don't see the issue with Joey not being able to play. He says there's got to be loyalty. There's something to be said about being loyal to an original member.
Well, a shoulder injury. I mean, unless he's fully healed. It's a tough one. Can you cover for somebody like that, Steve? I mean, if he literally doesn't have the energy and it shows in some way, shape, or form, tempo wise, it throws off the band. Can you hide that? Like, you could always hide a singer who couldn't hit the high notes.
No, you really. I mean, if you can't keep up on the drums, I mean, obviously, like, a lot of drummers play the click track so they could stay on tempo and stay on time. But if he can't pull that off, then yeah, it's time to find a replacement until he's ready.
Yeah. Well, I'm also ready for our next interview, Steve. Looking very forward to this.
Oh, man, I'm stoked. Please welcome to our show, BJ, a man that is giving us a new awesome show called 68 Whiskey, Ron Howard.
Ron, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure. Thanks for that intro.
And Ron, I have to tell you, thank you for running around doing interviews like this, because I'm going to be completely honest. 68 Whiskey was not on my radar, and if you didn't do this interview and didn't let people like me know, I think I would have missed perhaps one of the best shows of the season. What a terrific show.
Thank you. Well, that's the state of entertainment today is, there's so much out there. And of course, none of us can keep up with all of it, but I'm thrilled. I mean, I think we're just kind of knocked out by the numbers from the first week, the very first week of 68 Whiskey, without any big giant stars or anything. So we're very encouraged, by that. And at the same time, as an exec producer, I can say the show is just growing week to week, creatively, in leaps and bounds. And this cool young cast is just really doing so much, with this extraordinary writing. The writer is this guy, and showrunner Roberto Benavides, who's just great. You know, he comes from Ally McBeal. He was a mainstay on Weeds. And so this is that sort of blend of real interesting character, humor, but honesty, you know. And when you deal with a subject like 68 Whiskey, which is, a unit of medics in Afghanistan, you know, there's a great deal of drama and intensity in that. And they're not shying away from that.
And I mean, talk about a statement right off the get-go. My wife and I sat down and watched the show and loved it. But it's like right from the opening scene, it's like bad words and sexual content. I'm like, oh man, they're making a statement on the Paramount Network.
It literally does start off. And I don't know how many times you've heard this, Ron. And if it's the first time, congratulations to me. And if it's like the 50th time, I'm sorry. But it literally does start off with a bang, which I mean, it really does.
Well,
it's true.
No, you're the first one to say it. Just come out and say it. And
the F word.
Congratulations.
I mean, you always say that, you know, that's a phrase we've used in life. And I'm like, I don't know if this was intentional, but it's like everybody wants their show to start off with a bang, start off with May. And you guys literally did that.
Does. Well, the show is very frank. It's sexy. But it also reflects, you know, the research. And we have people around the show who have lived this life. And it's also inspired by an Israeli show that was very authentic in its presentation and style. And of course, we adapted it for American audiences, and that changes the show in a lot of ways. But that edginess, that honesty, that insight, I think is so important because yeah, it's, you know, it could be a little bit extreme, but that's life there. And then you begin to realize that these, you get to humanize all of that, you know, including the conflict. The politics goes out the window. It's about being there and doing a job. It's about getting it done. And these are people, unlike the TV show MASH from years before, which is a half-hour comedy, that was about people who, they were drafted. They were all reluctant. They were all miserable to be there. These are people who, for whatever reason, whether they're, you know, running from something or just, you know, or this is their noble cause, they choose to be there in harm's way facing the drama of all of this. And it really is a community that's under duress and stress. And, you know, I think it, while it shows all sides, not always flatteringly, that's the intention, because it's human. And so I think Roberto and his team are and these actors are just doing a great job of bringing it to life. And as I said, you know, the episodes just keep getting stronger.
And we're talking to Ron Howard, who's given us so many great things over the course of his life. And the latest is 68 Whiskey, which is Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on the Paramount Network, which is channel 640 on Xfinity, if you've got that. Ron, I grew up, I'm old enough that I grew up with the Hogan's Heroes and the McHale's Navies, and you mentioned MASH. And it's always interesting to me, I thought, you know, somebody had to make a pitch and say, we're going to do some form of comedy about, well, perhaps a real tragic part of our lives. And that's, of course, any time we're involved in a war or any military conflict.
Yes.
And how does that go, and what do you say to anybody to say this needs to be done, and also comedy has to be brought into this situation?
Well, again, I think the comedy is the thing that really levels the playing field and deals with it on the most human level. It reminds you that life can be absurd and sometimes, you know, hilarious and not always make complete sense, but that's real life anywhere. Now, we can all relate to that. Now, transplant that into an unbelievably intense environment and take a balanced view, a clear-eyed view of, you know, what it's like to function there, what it's like to try to save lives, what is it like to try to stand for something there, it's a great character test. It's a challenge, and so I think that's the value of the show. And of course, it first and foremost, it aims to entertain, which is what Roberto and his team have done, you know, always. But they do it in unusual, unexpected ways, which is why so many of his shows have lasted so long.
And I'm telling you, like you said, we hardly know. I don't recognize almost anybody in the cast, but boy, they are good. I mean, you know, you've really got some good folks that I'm already, in the first episode, fell in love with so many of those characters.
Well, great. Not to sound like I took, well, I do. I'm sitting here with my Imagine Entertainment hat on. Keep watching. that cast is strong and really, really good. And the first episode is always vitally important. We all want to see it and see what we think. But, if you enjoyed that, just, you know, keep coming back, because I think you're going to really enjoy this season.
We're talking about Ron Howard. I got to ask you, it's a silly question, but it was funny when we mentioned we were going to talk to you, I had a couple firefighter buddies text me and tweet at me and say, hey, dude, tell them that the reason why I became a firefighter was because of Backdraft. And I was like, that's a trippy thing to know that something.
Great.
Yeah. Like, to know that you created something that inspired someone to do something for a living, that's got to be nuts.
Well, Backdraft was before I'd ever made a movie based on real events. And yet I really wanted the authenticity. So even though it was a dramatic story, highly dramatic and fiction, I wanted people to understand and connect with the way of life and what it means to be there. And I think in a lot of ways that's what Roberto, Michael Lehman, and the team on 68 Whiskey are going for, as well, as a kind of a shocking, intense circumstance. And again, you've got with Backdraft, you had people, that was always the amazing thing, these are the people going into the fire when everybody else is trying to run out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here you have people who've actually volunteered to be there and do this work as trying, intense, and dangerous as it could be emotionally and physically. And so I think think there are actually some parallels there. But thank you to your buddies for doing the work they do. It means a lot to all of us.
And Ron, I know that you've got to go, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't at least make this one comment, saying that I am a guy that when I was 17 years old, watched Star Wars for the first time. So I feel like if anybody gets to comment on anything done in that universe, I surely get a voice because I was there. I was there early on in the days and I loved Solo so much, and I want to thank you for helping bring that to the big screen, because that was such a great story, and it frustrates me, because when I was a geek and everybody was basically just picking on me and nobody ever loved what I loved, all I wanted was a world of inclusivity where everybody would love what I loved and see what I thought was so special about it. And so I wanted you to know that not everybody is just being mean out there who watched the original Star Wars. I think you did a great job, and your team did a great job, and the performers were fantastic. And I, for one, hope someday you do something again in the Star Wars universe, because I enjoyed Solo very much.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. And I had a blast doing it. And look, it's been a really interesting creative period for me between moving between television, like this Genius series that I've done, or being an executive producer on a show like 68 Whiskey, directing documentaries, jumping onto Solo. I just finished doing an adaptation of Hillbilly Elegy, the J.D. Vance memoir. And I'm getting to creatively, sort of move into all of these areas. They're different, and yet, they're all stories that I love. And I had a blast on that. And also, my daughter, Bryce, Bryce Dallas Howard, Jurassic World and so forth. She's also has gotten into the Star Wars world, directed an episode of Mandalorian, and is going to do some more work for them as well. So she's involved in the galaxy and loves it.
You know, Ron, there's so much we could talk to you about, and I know you got to roll on, but I'm telling you, if you're ever in Seattle and you ever want to talk about anything, or if you ever just want to ring up and give us a call, we could talk to you for a long time just about what you do. I'm a big geek into just how stuff is done in the world of movies and television, so I just love doing that. But it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Likewise.
All right, Ron Howard, there he goes. And
I got to tell him how he inspired me to eat lobster as a child in the movie Splash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate, because I think that really would have touched his heart.
We just ran out of time.
Yeah, we
next
did.
Time.
Yeah, next time.
We're already late, and I don't think you'll answer.
No.
Or he'll find a way to work it back to 68 Whiskey.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that you love eating lobster, because, you know, 68 Whiskey, they like to eat food.
Yeah. I totally forgot he's got, I totally forgot about his kid.
How do you forget about Bryce Howard?
I know. But Ron has had such a life, and his kid's in the business. And did you know she directed an episode?
Yep. I didn't notice that, no.
I was oblivious to that. I've watched all the episodes of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, a couple people even texted about it as well.
Wow. Well, it makes sense. I mean, geez, it's in her blood. You know that it makes sense that she could be a good director. I mean, look at her dad.
Well, life just sounds like it sucks for Ron Howard, doesn't it, boys?
Dude, the legacy of his life, because his dad was an actor, his brother's an actor, his daughter's an actor, director, and everything. I mean, anyway, 68 Whiskey is a great show.
Great.
Steve and I both agree on it, which is hard to believe. But, it's really a good show about the military. I would love to know what folks in the military think of it.
It's polarizing. You know, but it's always going to be. I think anything that involves something like that, where it's near and dear to someone's heart, they will find anything that it might not be true and say, oh, this is wrong, this is that, and this is the other thing.
I know they have experts on the set where they try to get it as true as possible. And there's a great vignette about that on YouTube where Ron Howard and the whole gang says, we try to do it as accurately as we can. It is an entertainment show, obviously. It's 68 Whiskey, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on the Paramount Network, 6:40 if you've got Xfinity. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Owen Wilson voiced which character in 2006's Cars?
Gary Newman.
No.
Yeah, my God. Bumblebee.
No.
Kit.
No.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know if you even remember after what you heard yesterday, right?
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian's close.
Yes.
Lightning McQueen. Yeah, very close to the Mandalorian. You want a shot at beating Steve? All right, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I figure out who my creditors are?
People a lot of times have had a long time of not having good credit and having collections, and so they're concerned that You may be concerned that you won't be able to find all your creditors if you file bankruptcy. How will I know which collection agency has my credit card bill from 10 years ago now? And that's something that's hard to keep track of because credit collection agencies transfer your debts all over the place. But we will pull all your credit bureaus, and by getting all three of your credit bureaus, we'll be able to tell who has your credit and debt now, which collection agencies have had it in the past, and we'll make sure that we file all your creditors when we file your bankruptcy so that nothing slips through the cracks.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.